Go to 1 John, the fourth chapter. 1 John, the fourth chapter. And the story started at the seventh verse again because you didn't hear nothing I read. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. What God is? God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, and that we might live through him. Now watch this. Here it is. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, so we ought to love one another. Now, the verse I want to get to. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected or matured in us. So this is why we talked about the last 2 weeks. The purpose of the church was to be connected to heaven and reveal the Father, to shut down the gates of hell, and to extend the kingdom of God without limitations. This is important because without us being able to be connected to heaven, shut down the gates of hell, and extend the kingdom, no man will be able to recognize God, because God is recognized, men are able to recognize God through his church. Go to, while the mute sound was off, I want you to read some. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the second chapter. 1 Peter, the second chapter. 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 9. Watch this. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. We weren't the people of God. Now, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So here the Apostle Peter is describing us as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now watch this. Watch what it says. That we should show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now we ought to show forth the praise. That simply means that God ought to be displayed in our lives. We are a royal priesthood. We are instruments used by God to expand his kingdom. Listen, all that God started with Jesus Christ, he's going to finish with the church. That's why Jesus is the head of the church. We are the body of Jesus. So therefore, what the head began, the body must finish. So this is another reason why you must understand Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Go there, Ephesians, the fourth chapter. So without us expressing God, no man will ever see God. But people come to the knowledge of God through God being expressed through us. That's why it's important that we understand the purpose of the church, so we can come into the fullness and we can be who God has called us and designed us to be. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's to express God in the natural. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We're going to be going back to Ephesians many times. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Watch this, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Watch this, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Here, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things, which is the head. Remember who told you the head? Even Christ. Watch this, verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the working in the measure of every part, make the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So what God started with Jesus, he wants to finish with us. Now remember, Jesus is also called the second Adam. So God wanted to start this with Adam. But we must recognize the mistakes of Adam so that we don't repeat them. The mistake of Adam is trying to get his source of life or information about life from an improper source. Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do, and I only say what the Father tells me to say. So therefore, if the head had to follow that procedure, then we must follow that procedure. And this is why Jesus established the fivefold ministry gifts, so that if we don't know what God is saying, we can be connected to somebody who knows what God is saying, and so that we can learn from them until we get to the point to where we can hear God and play our part in the body. See, God is using the ministry gifts to bring maturity to the body of Christ. The problem has been, once again, the problem has been is that we've been trying to bring maturity to the body of Christ with only three of the gifts: the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. We left out the apostle, and we left out the prophet. And the prophets that we're used to seeing in our modern day is prophets that can read addresses or pull addresses or read names. That's showmanship. A true prophet is a seer and can see the direction of God for the people of God. An apostle structures doctrine and structures heaven to earth government, so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened, so that the body of Christ can access the supernatural. This is important. So every individual part needs to be working properly in the body of Christ. Every joint needs to be supplied. Why? Because it's going to cause growth in the whole body. The question you need to ask yourself, am I working properly in the kingdom? Now, the reason why that question needs to be asked is because only one person can answer that question. That's the Holy Spirit. Am I working? That don't mean, now what? Notice what I didn't say. Am I busy in the kingdom? That's not what I said. What I asked, the question you've asked is, am I working properly in the kingdom? Not am I busy in the kingdom. Am I working properly? So that means I want to know my place. I want to be supplying what I need. I want to supply what I need to supply. And I want to be a part of the bigger picture. I want growth to take place. Now, here's the thing about God. If we simply allow him to use us to express himself in the natural, you will have no worries. You will have no situation that you face that you cannot overcome. Everything that you overcome, everything that you come against, when you allow God to express himself through you, what you're doing is you're giving God to not only take care of his kingdom and to establish his kingdom in the earth through you, but you're also allowing God to take care of your situation at the same time. Praise God. So therefore, you must ask yourself, am I working properly? Am I a joint that's supplying? Am I helping the body of Christ to grow? Now, in order for us to help the body of Christ to grow, we have to grow. That means we have to mature. If we don't mature, that means the body of Christ can't grow. Am I fitted, knitted together to the head, Christ? See, we can't be fitted or knitted to the head of Christ, who's the head, without having the same agenda, without having the same purpose. See, without having the same direction. See, Jesus did his part, but we must do our part. See, the church is much more than a place for you to come to practice your Christian faith. The church is a place where we, the body of Christ, synergize our abilities, synergize our graces, synergize our anointings so that we can fulfill the three purposes of the church. When you have a man or woman of God that's after God's heart and wants to establish his kingdom, it will be very easy for you to discover who you are and to discover what God has called you to do. There are many churches right now in our world that are more about entertaining, more about keeping your attention, rather than causing you to grow, causing you to mature. And so what we have found ourselves, this past 2 years have been a prime example of how unprepared the majority of the body of Christ is. How every joint is not supplying. How every individual part is not working properly. We had too many in the body of Christ die from COVID-19. We had too many die from COVID-19. People that love God, people that were in love with him, people that want to help establish the kingdom. Satan saw that as an opportunity to take him out. So now we're here. We have to train those that are behind us, those that are younger than us. We have to train them the true purpose of the church. Train them how to operate in the church so that we can establish the kingdom of God without limits. See, remember now, we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. Praise God. We, the church, we are fellow heirs to the throne of God. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter. Let me get there. Romans, the 8th chapter. Watch this. We're fellow heirs to the throne of God. Now watch this. Watch what that means. Look at verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit, capitalized, that dwelleth in you, meaning the Holy Spirit. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So the Holy Spirit helps us mortify the deeds of the body. That's why we are a holy nation. Now here's what I'm trying to get to. Verse 14, for as many as are what? Led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That is a sign of maturity. We have, we're fellow heirs of the throne. So if Jesus had to be led by the Spirit, remember in Mark 4, I believe it's Matthew 4, he said he was driven into the wilderness by the Spirit. If he had to be led by the Spirit, then you know you and I have to be led by the Spirit of God. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now there's a difference. Go to John, the first chapter. There's a difference. Keep your finger in Romans 8. And go to John, the first chapter. John, the first chapter. John, the first chapter, verse 12. It says, but as many as received him, meaning Jesus, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. To become the sons of God. So becoming a son of God and actually being a son of God is two different things. Becoming means your position has changed. Being means you have it all powerful. Becoming a son of God means your position has changed. Glory to God. Being a son of God means you have decided to embrace to position change. Take that in. Becoming the son of God, becoming a son of God means you have changed positions. Being a son of God means you have embraced the position change. So when you receive Jesus, you receive the power to become. Now, when you go to Romans, the 8th chapter, 14th verse, when you are led by the Spirit of God, then are you a son of God. Means you have embraced the same agenda, the same purpose for the church, the same purpose for your life that Jesus accepted for his life. All that God began in Christ will and must ultimately be fulfilled through us, the church. Go to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. Watch this. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. Let's look at verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Are you seeing this? This is the Apostle Paul talking. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now watch this. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now that is powerful. Watch this. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, the unknown. What is the unknown? How to establish his kingdom. How to establish his kingdom. How to go and replenish the earth. Remember in Genesis, the 1st chapter. See, this is what all Adam and Eve was supposed to do. Adam and Eve was supposed to replenish the earth and establish his kingdom. God was not going to establish the kingdom. He gave that responsibility to us to establish his ways of doing things. And to make all men see, verse 9, what is the fellowship of the mystery from which the beginning of the world had been hid in God. So therefore, the mystery of how to establish his kingdom has been hid in him. Praise God. So therefore, now we start to see clearly how Adam and Eve messed up. They didn't go to him, or they didn't spend enough time with him to unfold the mystery. They went and got artificial information. They went and got an imposter's information. Watch this. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Powerful. Verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So therefore, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Faith of Jesus. So Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection and presentation of himself to the Father positions us that the powers, watch this, that the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So in other words, Satan has no authority, has no power. We can override it. So what does Satan do? He keeps trying to trip us up by stopping us from recognizing that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. See, God, when he started with Jesus, he wants to finish with us. Listen, Paul revealed how the saints are coming together, having been birthed by the Spirit as a family on earth, carrying and expressing the nature of the Heavenly Father. Look at verse 16. Well, look at verse 14. The Apostle Paul was saying, listen, this is so important. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, get that now. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We have been given, that's what this means, we have been given the character of Christ. That word names means character, so that we have his demeanor, we have his purpose, we have his power, we have his authority, and we have his character. Watch this, verse 16, that he would grant unto us, who God would grant unto us according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. By his spirit in the inner man. Watch this. That Christ may dwell in our hearts or in our souls or in our minds by faith. That we being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ with passive knowledge that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. So now God designed us to be filled with all the fullness of him. See, a lot of us like to jump to verse 20, but you can't get to verse 20 unless you start at verse 14 and receive all of that what the Apostle Paul was praying. Then he said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Verse 21, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world, or his kingdom without end. I need you to receive that. See, we want to go to verse 20, but you can't get to verse 20 unless you start at verse 14. That Christ may dwell in our souls. What that means? Our mind, our psyche. Christ dwell, his purpose. His reasoning for why he died on the cross, his kingdom, why he wanted stuff, why he only did what the Father told him to do, why he only said what the Father told him to say. See, we cannot reach our fullness until we first get that grasp, understand the purpose of the church, understand that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We are to establish God's kingdom on the earth. So this is a whole lot bigger than you getting a bigger house. It's a whole lot bigger than you getting the car of your dreams. It's a whole lot bigger than you having a bank account that you dream about. It's a whole lot bigger than that. So when you attach yourself to the agenda of God, the house is no problem. The car is no problem. The bank account is no problem. Peace is no problem. When you attach yourself and become involved and become at one with the agenda of God, recognize that you are a royal priesthood, that you are part of a holy nation, and that you are a peculiar person. You're part of peculiar people. When you recognize that, you will have the ability that what other people on the outside do not have. What is that ability? You will have the ability to have peace in the midst of a storm. So it doesn't matter what you're going through in your life. When you make up your mind that you are here to be connected to heaven so that the Father can be revealed, when you realize that you want to shut down the gates of hell, and you begin shutting down the gates of hell by shutting down the gates of hell in your life with your thoughts, meaning every thought that comes, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, I bring it, every man that rises against another, I handcuff it. I bring it under the subjection to the what? Obedience of Christ. So that the kingdom of God can be expanded without limit. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in verse 21. To him be the glory in the church. Where? In the church. By Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, meaning his kingdom without end. So be it. That's what amen is. So be it. So, until we begin to go beyond just our individual needs, we begin to go to a place bigger than our individual needs. See, if you go beyond your individual needs, You are now enabling yourself to receive power, to receive authority. Because remember, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, you're a peculiar people. You are now enabling yourself. When you go beyond just your needs and what you want from God, you are now enabling yourself to receive from God the authority and power. Remember, to many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You're enabling yourself to receive power, to receive authority, to receive grace, to receive mercy, not only to take care of his kingdom and its expansion, but you also receive power, the authority, the grace, the anointing, the mercy to take care of your personal situation. I hope you see this principle. I hope you see that once you go beyond, and this thing will shift you, that concept, this idea, this understanding will shift you from just trying to survive to now you are thriving. You're not trying to survive this situation. You're thriving in the situation. You're having peace in the middle of the storm. I bless you. I look forward to seeing you next week at Prosperity Vow. Have a good night.